This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال رخص للشيخ الكبير أن يفطر ويطعم عن كل يوم مسكينا ولا قضاء عليه رواه الدارقطني والحاكم والصححة. Narrated Ibn Abbas radiyallahu an, an old man is permitted to break his fast in Ramadan and feed a poor for every day, and no atonement is required of him. Reported by Ad-Darqutni and Al-Hakim, who also authenticated it.
Yeah, this side, it's for the sisters. So Sheikh Ibrahim, if you can just a little bit go up in front. So we keep this side for the sisters. You cannot hear in the back? Hold on. You guys can come here right now if you want. Let me double check something. Just check right now. Check 1, 2, 3. Is it working right now? Working? Yeah, do the community hall one on. Just hold on, please. Check 1, 2, 3. Not yet. Yeah, from there. Okay. So you guys can come in the here on the side of the masjid. Yes. Can you read the English translation again, please?
Narrated Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, an old man is permitted to break his fast in Ramadan and feed a poor for every day, and no atonement is required of him. Reported by Ad-Darqutni and Al-Hakim, who also authenticated it.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu wa ba'd. This narration from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu wa arda, as Ibn Hajar said, reported by Ad-Darqutni, and it is sahih. And to be honest with you, there is another narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, and this is kind of... strange. Why would he refer to the narration in Ad-Darqutni and he wouldn't use the narration in Sahih al-Bukhari? In Sahih al-Bukhari, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu arda commented on the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٌ. For those who can offer fasting, they should feed provide food for a poor person. Ibn Abbas said it's a permission for the old men to break their fast, and they feed for each day they break their fast. قال ويطعم عن كل يوم مسكين. Maybe he chose to give. Some people say it's strange. Why would he not use the Bukhari one? Because maybe this was just a comment on the verse. It's not like a whole isnad for it, the way it is in Ad-Darqutni, rahimahullah. But I think it's worth it. It's worth mention that the narration also exists in Sahih al-Bukhari. طيب, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, رُخِّصَ, permission were given. Who gave that permission? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where he got that from? He got it from the verse that I recited in Surah Al-Baqarah 184, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٌ. If you remember, I told you before that the legislation for the legislation for fasting started with making fasting as an option. If you choose to fast, good. If you choose not to fast, and you're capable of fasting, and you choose not to fast, fidyatun ta'amu miskin, that you will basically feed a meal per a day, and you don't need to fast. It was optional. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu arda, he believes that this verse was not completely abrogated. The ruling changed a little bit. What's the change happened? He said that the rule remained. The rule remained, which is the option. But this option is for Ibn Abbas, is for the pregnant woman, the breastfeeding woman, for the older person, the person who cannot, a sick person, who's very old, very sick, he will not be able to cure or be cured from his illness. So that person is required to give a meal per a day. He said the verse didn't completely abrogate it. Actually, the ruling remained for those people. But there is another verse came to specify another ruling for the average Muslim who's capable of making fasting, that they must. وَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. If you witness the month, you must fast. So that's how Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu understood that concept. Here, we say the person who became so old, if this illness and this old age, the person lost with it their ability, their sanity, their mental capacity is not there anymore. So they can't basically see. They cannot understand. They cannot comprehend. If the person became like Majnoon, in this case, we say that there is no need for that person to feed or to do anything. You want to turn the light? It's dark? Okay. No. The light is basically the one, the not the yellow one, the bright, the one. Yes. Yeah. Okay, just take a second to pull. So, if the person is old to the extent that they lost their sanity, became like Majnoon, someone have a dementia, you know, or Alzheimer, that he cannot anymore focus or understand anything, or mentally not capable of making any sound decision or, you know, taking care of himself or understand what's around him or her, this person, you don't need to feed meal per day for them because one of the condition of taklif that they became mukallaf, sanity. طيب. What if, no, he's still, he's a person who's sane, but is too weak to fast, too old, too sick to fast. Someone will be in this medication for the rest of his life. He cannot. Would be fair, doctor, to say some people with very bad diabetes levels, they cannot fast. They have to eat. And we don't know any cure for this kind of sickness. Yeah, like their diabetes is not controlled at all, or they have to, okay, they have to eat. Also, maybe heart disease. Blood pressure, those people have to take medication all the time. The heart disease. So some of these sickness were required from the person to be in medication during the daytime, cannot delay. So people like this, or old, he became like 70, 80 years old, he can't. It's very hard for him to fast. It's just very tiring for him to fast. People like this, what's the ruling in regard to them? Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Ahmad, Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, in the new madhab of Shafi'i, the latest opinion of Shafi'i, said, they follow Ibn Abbas fatwa. They said what? He break the fast and you feed for each day a meal, a full meal, to basically make up that day. And they said, Anas ibn Malik, when he became old, he didn't fast and he used to feed per a day, a meal per a day. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, And one narration from Imam Shafi'i in the old madhab, they said no. They did not take Ibn Abbas' fatwa. They went and they took a principle in Sharia. That principle in Sharia is, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. They said, Allah will only make you do what you are capable of. But if you don't have the capacity to do something, the Sharia will never make it required for you. So they said the old person, or the person who's sick, a sickness that there is no cure for it, they basically do nothing. They break their fast, and there is nothing to make. There is no penalty, there is no feeding, there is nothing like that. They didn't take what Ibn Abbas said. First of all, it's not hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, and they found that the principle in the Quran and the principle of Sharia is more stronger than the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda. But for me, the majority's opinion, like the Hanbali and the Hanafi and the latest opinion among the Shafi'iyya, that it is something you should feed a meal per a day to a poor person, is stronger. Why? Because Ibn Abbas said that, and Anas radiallahu anhu said that. And Ibn Abbas is the translator of the Quran. He understands this principle. And we didn't find anyone opposed that opinion among the companions. You know, when Malik opinion will be very strong, if we found the Sahaba among them dispute, I would say, you know what, there is option. But we found Anas and Ibn Abbas did that, وَلَا نَعْلَمْ لَهُمْ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ مُخَالِفٍ. And we don't know any companion objected to them. So the principle says, al-usul, the principle should lead us to say, if a companion make a statement, or multiple companions make a statement, and we know that no one opposed them, their opinion must be hujjah, must be an authority in this case. Another issue related to sickness. What about the pregnant and the breastfeeding woman? Al-ulama rahimahullah, in regard to the pregnant and the breastfeeding woman, divided into three groups. First group said, she make up these days later on. She break her fast, but she make up the days later on. And breaking up the fast is optional. The second group, and the one who said she makes up the days only, Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Malik, and among the tabi'een, Az-Zuhri wa Ata wa Al-Hasan Al-Basri wa Jama'a min al-Tabi'een. And it's the famous opinion. And also it is one opinion among the Malik and Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Another opinion said, she needs to only feed, nothing else. So a pregnant woman or breastfeeding woman didn't fast, all what she need to do to give a meal per a day. And among the people who said this, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and the old opinion among the Shafi'iyya. So, and Jama'a min al-Muhaqqiqeen, and other group of scholars as well. And a narration among some of the Hanabila. So they said she only needs to feed per a day, meal per a day. And she doesn't need anything else. Can you give my paper, please? The third opinion, which is the madhab of also narration from, can you get this away from me? Let me just make it to you guys. The fan, just let it face this way. The brothers over there. Jazakallah khair. And this opinion is very interesting. They said, if she break her fast, the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman, if she break her fast because she was worried about herself, she's dehydrated, she's so sick, in this case, she only make up the day. Why? Because she looked like a sick person. She take the rules of person who's sick. That's right. But if she break her fast because she was worried about her baby, that the baby will not be nutritious enough in her stomach, in her womb, or she will not have milk for him, she will dry out. قالوا إذا خافت على جنينها, she make up the day and she feed. Why they said she feed? They said because Allah said in the Quran, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ. Because Allah said in the Quran, those who have the capacity or the ability to fast and they choose not, they should give a meal. And they said that verse never been abrogated 100%. So they said to do the two. And that's the position of the Hanabila and fatwa of Shaykhna Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah and many of the scholars. And Ibn Uthaymeen as well. And I really not very excited about this opinion, even though it's most of my teachers took it. The reason, because for me, I don't see any similarity in ibadat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala double your penalty, kind of. You make up the day and you feed. It's usual either or that, either this or that. But if you look at the other trends in Sharia, it never was both of them you have to do. It's either you do it or you pay for it. That's one of the two. But to do two of them, this is kind of not common. I couldn't think now of anything similar to that. So it doesn't go with the trends or the norm or the common practice in the Sharia. That's why I really believe that the opinion that the pregnant and the breastfeeding woman, she only can feed, is the easiest and the closest one to the opinion of the Sahaba and the more practical one. Why? Because I have seen many sisters. She became pregnant. So that's one Ramadan she missed. Breastfeeding for two Ramadans. So that's three Ramadans. How many days now? 90. MashaAllah, our people are very good. After she finished the 2 years, basically, she engaged with another kid. So that's another three, cycles. So that's right there, six Ramadans. That's how many days is this? These are a lot, 180 days. 180 days, that's like, and some women I've seen 3 years and 4 years. So this case, I think it's more practical to say you just feed. Wallahi, if one pregnancy and she has the ability to make it up, jazakallah khair. But I don't think, especially if it became haraj in cases like this, when you have multiple Ramadan, many days and became haraj on people, I think there is no harm to choose the other opinion among the ulama and mashayikhna, Shaykhna Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, who used to give fatwa that feeding will be sufficient without making up the days. How much you give? There is no proof how much you feed. All what we know, that they used to give them a meal. Anas used to bring 30 people to his house and feed them at once. Khalas. And he said, that's done. But they have to be poor, not to make iftar in the masjid. We are poor to Allah, but then not necessarily. But you have to find someone who is considered a person poor. To give them one meal. And this has to be not the cheapest meal, the most important meal of the day. So for example, in American culture, what is the main meal we have? Dinner. It's not lunch. So you don't count lunch. Oh, you know what? I'm going to give him a sandwich. Lunch usually very light, like, $6, $7 lunch or $8 lunch. Dinner, it's like about, $20 or $15, the dinner. So we go with the dinner. In Arab culture, the main meal in Arab culture is lunch, is not dinner or breakfast. What about like in Pakistan? What's the main meal? Lunch or dinner? Lunch as well. Lunch. All of them, mainly. Equally important. Okay. So you basically choose. But can I give money? Can I give money to the poor person instead of a meal? Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah ta'ala and many others said that they are very interesting. I don't know if you guys have the interest to dig deep or not. They said something I want you to contemplate on it. Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, and Ibn al-Qayyim and others, they said the penalties in Islam, and the feeding, sometimes, it was legislated for the benefit of the poor. Yani originally it was initiated just to help the poor. Can somebody give me an example? Yani, like something we are required to give only because it's for the poor, benefit of the poor. Zakat al-Fitr. Make them rich that day. Make them sufficient that day. So it was legislated not because the mainly is not about you. It's about the poor person. Okay? Like the Udhiyah. We'll come to the Udhiyah. So the Zakat al-Fitr, it is meant for the poor. That's what Shaykh al-Islam said. It's allowed for you. You look what is the best interest for the poor person. To receive it food or to receive it money. Because the whole issue is his best interest, is to serve him. But if the legislation is not about the poor, it's about you, it's about purification, it's about ritual, you should stick to the text. So the qurbani is not about the poor. Nothing in the hadith said the udhiyah, you have to give it to the poor or to feed the poor or anything like that. The udhiyah is about you eat from it, you give gift from it, you give donation from it. But the whole entire legislation is about the ritual itself, the nusuk, that you slaughter for the sake of Allah. You spill this blood of the animal for the sake of Allah, representing what Ismail happened to him. So they said, because it's a ritual, you cannot change. So you cannot say, let me do this. And instead of giving the poor person sheep, let me give him $400 or $200. He can't. You understand? The question will be, he put that qaida. Then he now became a debate. In a case like this, is this meant, this legislation meant or legislated originally because a sharia was looking after the best interest of the poor, or it is meant as just a form of punishment for the person? And it's form of ritual for the person. You might look at it this way, and that's why ulama today debated. Those who see it more of the whole legislation is about the poor, he will tell you can give money or you can give food. Those who said, no, it's a ritual, he will tell you you have to keep it in the form of food. And that, even you say, it's not convenient for me. But yes, this inconvenience meant for you not to do that again. I do believe that this is about the poor more than anything else. So you can give money or you can give food. That's both fine. You can give it to one person for 30 days, 30 meals. You can give it to multiple people. You can one sitting. Anas did that, radiallahu anhu. Yeah, one sitting. But it has to be a full meal. Like if you, the more you perfect the meal. I know one of my teachers. Wallahi, it's amazing. I saw him once giving the feeding of his mother. I was surprised. I was one of my teachers once. Wallahi, he chose first the best meals, like the best meat. And we were going, and he wanted purchasing meat. He basically take it and give it to the poor and overseas. So he choose a good restaurant, like what we say here, a first-class restaurant, like a nice restaurant. And I was surprised. He ordered dessert. He ordered salad. He ordered the dressing for the salad. To the details, I was saying, Sheikh, this is like Azima or kafara. Azima, it means like invitation or like guests coming to your home, or this is a penalty for your mother. He said, it is more valuable than invitation. This is something Allah invited us to do. This is where you spend your money, more on your guest, more than on your guest. And I will never forget that, يعني حفظه الله. He really taught me a lesson that day. Even, you know, he was asking me, you think they would like Pepsi more than the 7-Up or this? At that time, I didn't know much. If I know, I would tell him I wouldn't buy any one of them. Get something much healthier. But, you know, but to that extent, he was thinking. Yes, next hadith. When you give the poor person, you don't need to tell them this is zakat. Actually, it's much better. Not so you don't embarrass them. Yeah. A lot of people, when it comes to the zakat, they are very strange. They dictate what the zakat has to go. Khalas, somebody, I told them about a poor person that they need help. So give them help. Then he told, what somebody told me, what if he buy with the money something like not beneficial? What's your business? Khalas, you give him the money and that's it. You know why this comes, this attitude comes? Because we feel it's our money. While the Muslim jurist said, الزكات حق الفقير. الزكات, it is the poor people's money. It's not your money. That's why if I didn't fast for many years or I didn't pray for many years, okay, I just repent to Allah and that's it, start over. But if I didn't zakat, give a zakat for many years, I have to go back and to give zakat for all these years. Because that's not my money to keep it. That's his money, the poor people's money. The people who deserve the zakat's money. Yeah. In feeding, it doesn't matter if he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. I don't know. I need to look, and specifically in feeding for kafar. I know Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said it has to be Muslim. But I don't have any research about this. But I know Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said it has to be a Muslim. Yes.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هلكت يا رسول الله قال وما أهلكك قال وقعت على امرأتي في رمضان فقال هل تجد ما تعتق رقبة قال لا قال فهل تستطيع أن تصوم شهرين متتابعين قال لا قال فهل تجد ما تطعم 60 مسكينا قال لا ثم جلس فأوتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعرق فيه تمر فقال تصدق بهذا فقال أعلى أفقر منا فما بين لابتيها أهل بيت أهوج إليه منا فضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى بدت أنيابه ثم قال اذهب فأطعمه أهلك رواه السبعة واللفظ لمسلم. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, I am ruined. He asked him, what has ruined you? He replied, I have had intercourse with my wife during Ramadan. He then asked him, can you get a slave to free? He said, no. He asked, can you fast 2 consecutive months? He said, no. He asked, can you provide food for 60 poor people? He said, no. He then sat down. Meanwhile, an araq containing dates was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, give this as sadaqah. The man said, am I to give to the one who is poorer than we are? There is no poorer family than mine between the two mountains of Al-Madinah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereupon laughed till his canine teeth appeared. He then said, go and feed your family with it. Reported by As-Sab'ah, and the version is that of Muslim.
SubhanAllah, yani, this hadith shows how easy our religion is. Allah يعني so simple, so easy. I bet you anything, if this person have been to any one of these fuqaha or muftis or shuyukh, would have made his life miserable. يعني it just show you how nice sallallahu alayhi wasallam is and how easy our religion is and how complicated we're making our religion. Would you, can you fear a slave? No. Okay. Can you fast 60 days? No. He didn't say why. You know, start investigating. No. Have you, can you feed? No. Ya Rasulullah, I'm the poorest. He laughed. Khalas. Did he check? He got a container of date. Did he say, let's see if it's really 60 feeding, absolutely 60 by the gram, by the. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this religion is taking on the, yani, on an ease way. We just make things so harsh, so complicated. Some people ask me questions in so many detailed way that I say to myself, like, why are you making so hard? Like somebody asking me, for example, a question that day about how something has to do with adultery. But what if the one of the spouses committed adultery and the other one should keep, like a husband keep his wife, she committed adultery, for example. I said, that person committed adultery, just make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue their life. He's not an adulterer anymore if they repent to Allah. Yes, but Sheikh, what's the Hanbali or the Shafi'i or the Hanafi madhab about the adulterers staying in marriage? Khalas, we don't have adulterers. Somebody repented to Allah. No, no, no. I want to know the adulterer. And I keep like back and forth, back and forth. But what if the husband has to be told? What should I tell the husband? Yeah, you can tell the husband if there is need. Like, for example, you got pregnant, you got STD, you got virgin and you lost your virginity. But you commit a sin, he committed a sin, and repented to Allah dearly between them and Allah. Move on in your life. This is my fatwa. No, like 20 time questions. As if like pushing to get, you know what, you are divorced. And is that what you're looking for? Is that what you, the people pushing for? So much details and make things so complicated and so hard upon themselves. But this hadith, subhanAllah, give you any. How simple life is. It's unique. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah rawa hadha al-hadith fi ashrat mawadi' min sahihi. He narrated this hadith in 10 different chapters in his sahih because there are so many lessons from it. Utiya al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to the Prophet. He was named in other narration, his name Salamah ibn Sakhar al-Bayadi. Bi'araq fihi tamr. Al-Araq المكتل أو الزنبيل. It means a container, big container. In between the two mountains, the two dark mountains, the two black mountains, لا بتيها, the two dark mountains. That should be, or the two black mountains. Because if you go to Medina, there is two dark rocks, areas of rocks, because there is a volcano used to be there. It's a volcano rocks in both sides of Medina, from the east and from the west. So if you go to the east side of Medina, there's Al-Harra al-Sharqiyya, and in the west, there's Al-Harra al-Gharbiyya. Both are dark rocks, big dark rocks. And they call this La Batayha or Harratayha. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam laughed so much that his canine shows, that show you how big, wide smile he had, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his mouth was wide in your, كان ضليع الفم, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-jima' having intercourse in the daytime in Ramadan for those who are fasting, it is absolutely a sin. That's why the man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I ruined my life. I ruined my day. He knows that this is something major. And intercourse, it means penetration. So anything less than penetration, not called intercourse. And penetration, even without ejaculation, is intercourse. Ejaculation without penetration is not called intercourse in Islam. So he comes and he knows that this is a sin, but he was looking for what is the penalty? What should I do? And because of this, al-ulama rahimahumullah, all of them agreed that having intercourse in Ramadan or in, while you are fasting, it will invalidate your fast. That's why Allah said it's only permissible to have an intercourse with your wife during Ramadan when in the night. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. It's permissible for you during the night to have intercourse with your wife. So that means it's impermissible in other than the night. Okay? Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ. You can approach them. وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. In 187, verse 187. طيب. And the penalty here, as it seems from the hadith, freeing a slave, fasting the month, 2 months, consecutive months, or to feed 60 miskin. Do I have to put this in this order, or I have a choice? Yani when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, free a slave, can you free a slave? He said, no. Can you fast? Does the Prophet meant to put them in order, or it's a choice? He can choose one of the three. He gives him three things. He starts with freeing a slave because that's the best way. But not necessarily because it has to be that, and if not, you go to the second or third. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and Shafi'i and Imam Ahmed said, it's in this order. If you have a slave to free, you must. You can't, you go to the fasting. If you cannot fast, you go to the third. Okay? And he said, because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's what it seems to be the reason for the Prophet to put them in the order. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, and one narration from Al-Imam Ahmad said, no, he has the option to choose from the, any one of these three. Okay? And he said, because Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith, and he said, Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, and yukaffir, qala Abu Hurairah, a man broke his fast in Ramadan by having intercourse. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him or asked him, أن يكفر أو قال يكفر يعتق أو يصوم شهرين أو يطعم. He said to him, free a slave or fast 2 consecutive months or feed 60. So or it means an option. And this is an authentic narration. And anyway, the majority took the first position. Imam Malik rahimahullah, in this regard, have this narration that they based their opinion upon. The person should avoid this anyway. Tayyib, question. What about the wife? What about the wife? Would she do the same penalty or no? If you notice, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't mention her at all. He said to him, you have to fast, you have to, can you free a slave, fast? He didn't say anything about his wife. That's why Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, in one of the most famous opinion among the Shafi'iyya, Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said, there is nothing upon woman. It's the men who carry the burden of it, not the woman. Why? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't order him to say anything to his wife, this man's wife. Malik and Abu Hanifa said, that's not fair. Why we cut woman's slack? Why we let them go free? They said, no, that's not right. They said, woman also has kafara. The reason the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say anything about the woman to the man, because the conversation never started. Yani the guy ended it before it started. He said, no, I can't. No, this is not possible. We are very poor. So it looks like if the conversation continued, maybe. And also they said the principle is principle. She committed the sin as well. Other fuqaha said, no, it depends. And this third opinion, that's what I like. If she was forced into it, No kafar, no penalty. Because the man, he said, وَقَعْتُ عَلَى امْرَأَتِي, I came and I fall into her. Sounds like he kind of forced himself on her. But if she's the one who initiated it, she dressed up for him and she put the makeup, she put the perfume, she seduced him. No, in this case, she has a penalty and he has a penalty as well. And that's one opinion among the Hanabila. And I think that's a fair and more, goes more with the Sharia rules and principles. The person learning from this hadith should make sure that you avoid anything that might lead to sexual intercourse between you and your wife during the month of Ramadan. Also shows you how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very well mannered. Yani the man said, Ya Rasulullah, I ruined my life. I did something terrible. I had intercourse with my wife during the month of Ramadan. Did you notice Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never reprimanded him, never made fun of him, never made any comment about this incident? He just gave him solutions. You know, sometimes we need to learn this khuluq that we don't need to make people feel bad or judge people. The point is to educate people, to bring solutions for people. And that's what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And especially if somebody come to you showing his tawbah, showing repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith, yes.
So in this hadith, the Prophet didn't ask the man too many detailed questions to prove if you don't have any too many of this. But now with the Muslim organizations that work with the poor and put them on a list to receive rent, to receive groceries, and things like that, is it okay to ask them?
Very good. He said some organization today, when they cavil poor people, they start investigating and have a case study, or like they have an officer for the case and some masajid and make it so complicated. I want to say there is a difference between the days of the Prophet ﷺ and our days. In the Prophet ﷺ days, people are more honest, you know, more likely to be true poor. People are poor in general in that society. Okay? So people are honest, especially talk about the companions and this type of people. Versus when we talk about modern days, where people can make money out of that, can cheat, lie, people deceive, people who don't deserve zakat at all comes, maybe they use it for drugs, maybe they use it for gambling, maybe use it for stuff, for addictions, things of that nature. Then you have the vast majority who are really poor people. So for us as individuals, I think we have to build a balance. So if you see a sign that raises suspicious, investigate. Suspicion about the person. This person looks suspicious to me, you know, the way he is. And like you see, sometimes you get some sister or brother drop here. I have no one. Blah. That's his true story, by the way. Need help. I don't know if Sheikh Ibrahim remember that. And ask for help in the masjid. Then we found out that on the street, in Al Kamina Street, or just before that, like a Lexus car waiting for the same person, drive them up, take off everything they were wearing, just new clothes, and just waiting for them. So some people might come. So if you see something that raises a question mark, yes. But if you don't, in my opinion, you should not. You should not be into too much investigation, too much strictness. Because in the end of the day, if he lie, his lie upon him. And I am worried that because of few bad people, we make it so difficult that will affect a lot of good people who have dignity. They will not be able to receive this help. So I will take the risk of giving one or two people by mistake, but not to prevent the real true people from receiving the zakat and receiving the help that they need. And whenever you feel suspicious, you don't need to give so much. You give a little bit to see, to check. Uh-huh. He said, if someone has a zakat to give, and now he didn't do it for years, and now he became poor, he doesn't have the money to give all the zakat that he missed. First of all, that's a lesson for all of us, that give now before a time comes where you cannot give. That's a lesson. Number two, we say, yes, this person, it's a debt on him to give it. So whenever he has opportunity to pay it off, he should do so. We'll stop here. If there is any questions that we have? Yeah. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will have much faster rate than this.
All right. So I think you answered this one. They asked, do the poor need to be Muslim? I think you answered that one.
It depends for what reason. Which poor you talk for? Sadaqah, general charity? No, you don't need to be he doesn't need to be a Muslim.
And then when you were talking about the meals, a question came in, what does it mean by the full meal? Like breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Serve all three?
No, just the main meal of the day. Like here in our culture, it will be, for example, dinner. So just a full meal dinner. It means rice, meat, or pasta and chicken, or pasta, fish, and this. So, for example, in certain country, like in Egypt, the main item in the meal is bread. Pakistan, the same thing, without bread. So if you're giving this in Pakistan, you have to provide bread. And also a meal, like for example, in some country, if you give them beans and bread, and it will be full meal. But in other culture, that's not full meal yet. Full meal, it means has to have some kind of meat. Okay, so it depends where the people live and where you're going to give that kafara. So in the United States, a meal, it will contain a meat and maybe rice, pasta. Yeah. I don't know if that dinner, it's lunch more, a burger. Maybe double burger from Five Guys, or we'll make it.
I got one more.
Yes.
If it's related, to this aspect, because this one isn't related, so go ahead.
Feeding the needy, especially the woman, for breastfeeding of the period, it has to be the same place where they're living? Or
very good. Can we give that meals to the same place where we're living or some other place in the world? Let's say the breastfeeding woman lives in America. Can she feed someone in Bangladesh or in Malaysia or Indonesia? The answer for this is no, not necessarily to be in the same country. You can do it anywhere in the world. But I would love us to spend our zakat in our community, because there's a lot of people need help. Yes. Can a ministrating woman sit in the masjid in the musalla area, in the prayer where people pray? If there is need for her to be in this place, yes, like she's attending a class or something like that. But if there is no need for you to be there, you should not be there. I want to mention something before we end. Friday, yesterday, a great scholar passed away. He's someone that I got the pleasure to go to his masjid when I was much younger in Riyadh. His name is Sheikh Muhammad al-Rawi. He is a senior scholar among the senior scholars in Egypt, Kibar al-Ulama in Egypt. And he's a person who demonstrated the highest level of commitment to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran, reciting, explaining. He lived with the Quran all his life. Everybody knew him, would say, you will never find Sheikh Muhammad al-Rawi unless he is reading a verse, memorizing a verse. Sometimes he will be traveling in the car with some of the shuyukh and some of his friends, like senior scholars like him. He would say, come on, let's review Quran. Sami'li. I want to read Surah Taha with you. I want to read this surah with you. And always like that. I've seen a lot of scholars. That's very rare to find that. All his life, he loved Al-Quran. And I can tell you one other thing he loved so much, and he always expressed his love for it, his wife, publicly. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Shaykh Muhammad al-Rawi had also a good sense of humor. Very intelligent man. And I'll share with you this funny story. He traveled to one of the countries in the Far East, South Asia, the East South Asia, and it is a very extreme Shafi'i country. And they're very strict about that. And this is like, what, maybe 50 years ago or something like that, like a long time ago. And he was worried that they will not let him in or something like that because he has to prove that he is Shafi'i. Otherwise, they will not let him. So the funny part is, the passport officer, the immigration officer, before he gave him the stamp, he looked at him and he said to him, you're from Egypt. He said, yes. He said, are you among the Shafi'i or the Hanafi? Because in Egypt, there is a lot of Hanafi, a lot of Shafi'i. Sheikh Ahmed al-Rawi, he said, I looked at him. And I didn't know what really to tell him because also he might be tested. And I don't want to say anything to be held accountable for it. So I said, I'll tell you the truth. حولك الصراحة. He said, my father Shafi, but my mother is Hanafi. Because there are certain people in this country also Hanafi. So he doesn't know the officer is what, which one of them. And he said, my father is Shafi, but my mom is Hanafi. You choose. Rahimahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and forgive all our scholars, the living and the dead. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a replacement to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are much better than the one we lost. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to keep us upon the straight path until we meet him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Brother Muhammad Sa'ad, I know that he was, I don't know if he's still in the hospital or not, but he got a kidney stone. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a speed recovery and remove that harm from his body. Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.